You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans? And welcome to another edition of the Bison Report Radio podcast, brought to you by Gateway Chevrolet. I am your host and the publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum, and joining me here in the beautiful Horace Bison Report Studios, Mr. Zach Willis. Zach, how the heck are you?
I'm great. It's always great to get out here and chat about some Bison football, but you know, I wish we were speaking on a victory Thursday, being able to recap a good win against USC, but I think we'll get into some stuff here that, you know, pointers that we think Bison can work on, and obviously looking forward to a good game against a good Missouri Valley opponent in Missouri State.
Yeah, you know, sometimes there are many championship seasons at North Dakota State with sort of that wake-up call game. I just don't think anybody was ready for it to happen in the Valley opener. I think that made people sad.
Yeah.
this team, after everything that happened in Frisco, shouldn't need a wake-up call.
Yeah, I think I saw that a lot on social media Saturday afternoon. I think that's absolutely a fair point. I always found it kind of tough to come out of the bye week directly into the Missouri Valley because it is just a different brand of football, and you're going to get everybody's best shot. That is the most cliche NDSU coach speak that there is, but it is for real that people have beat the Bison on their walls in the weight room. And I just got starched. It's like came out in the first round and just got punched in the mouth and never really recovered from it.
All right, into the news, I guess, briefly, the O-line thing is interesting to me. I want to get sort of longer form takes on that just because, to me, Mason Miller was always like a tackle body type, that basketball player, you know, type body. So for him to move to guard, Gray's a great tackle. We've seen that before, but that one was interesting to me. Dylan Radin's returning to the Tennessee Titans, very fun. Yep. Christian Watson returning to the Green Bay Packers, very fun
for you.
And NDSU likely. As we understand it, 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 we understand it.
Partway through last week's game, and it looks like they will be using their second string guy. I mean, that is sort of the reporting that we've heard at this time.
Yeah, and that's too bad. I mean, obviously injuries are never good, but Missouri State was rolling with their first string quarterback, I think third or fourth in the FCS as far as passing offense.
Yeah, they just weren't stopping people.
Yeah, yeah. And then obviously it hurts to have to switch to a backup after that kind of start.
Okay, let's get into the USD game. Just kind of, it felt gross. You know, I think we didn't lose, we just ran out of time.
Yeah,
it's sort of like the vibe, right? I think you play South Dakota 10 times, you probably beat them 8.
Mm-hmm.
This was one of those two. And I just, that game, I think, and I'm not like trying to blame it on anyone, but you go back for me, and I think either the first or the second play was a tackle for a loss.
Yeah.
Third and 14. You just cannot give up a first down on that.
Right.
Because I think you get an incompletion or a sack or even just a check down and they rally up and tackle and USD punts away, like you get that 45-20 game. And I know that sounds insane that it's like the third play of the game defined the game, but it kind of did. I mean, I think if you could have gotten that three and out, went down and scored a touchdown, like I think everybody just, what did The Rock say? Know your role and shut your mouth. Like I think USD might have kind of remembered their role and potentially lay down.
Yeah, we kind of talked about it in the preview. USD is one of those teams you just cannot breathe life into, because if you give them anything to grasp on, they'll do what they did last Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, 3rd and 14, you get a sold-out Fargo Dome homecoming crowd into it all the way, and then, you know, it kind of takes away their belief that, hey, we can get 3rd and 14s.
Yeah.
You know, it's all just giving them something to grasp onto, and we just did too much of that last Saturday.
I think, you know, you'd have to classify offensively a slow start. Between the 20s, it was sort of fine, but just didn't score. And yeah. And that is a big problem, right? I mean, NDSU, as we've noted and we'll kind of get into a little bit here, is a play-from-ahead team.
Mm-hmm.
A smaller, faster defense designed to defend the pass, although that didn't go particularly well in rush the passer, not necessarily get into these slogs. A Bison offense designed to get up 14 and then start choking your life away by running the football.
Right.
That didn't happen. When it, you know, I think it was 21-3 at one point. I know it was 21-10 at one point as well, but I do believe it was 21-3. And that is just not where NDSU ever wants to be. And I know that sounds dumb, because if you ask any football coach, hey, coach, do you want to be down 21-3? No. But NDSU is not like... There are certainly offenses and styles of football where you just sort of take 21-3 as a bump in the road and you keep running your spread, run and shoot, whatever, and, well, 21-3, but this game might end 41-38, so what do we care?
Yeah, it's one of those things where, and I know I'm kind of echoing what people thought, and you see them start to climb into the game at the end, and you're just like, that was a lot of time off the clock to get
back
and
score. We'll talk about that as well.
And it's... You know, I'd like to see that transition to flip in, like, okay, well, we are down 21-3. We could take 30 minutes of possession in the second half to try to get it back, or we could switch to 10 and 11 personnel and try to get this in before half, and then let's party. You hurry up to get ahead or a catch up, and then do the anaconda, squeeze the life out
right.
of you for the rest of the game.
I think people will blame this game on the offense, I think, because that's just what everybody does, but... I did not like I have not liked the defensive plan. I mean, sure. we have after that, you know, first game against Eastern Washington, I think there was reason to be optimistic. Obviously, Eli playing extremely well,
yeah.
And then Wiz just excelling at a new position in a way we haven't necessarily seen in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But NDSU right now has just this rigid avoidance of coming out of too high shell.
Yeah.
They're just not doing it. I could probably look at the actual percentages, but so much too high with Sam and Cole.
Mm-hmm.
I think they need to figure out a nickel package.
Right.
There was no reason to be in a 4-3 base defense on 3rd and 14 on the third play of the game.
Right. Yeah.
And I think I've seen like a 3-3-5 where Ryan Jones comes in. Just if you like three corners, and it seems like they do, because Jackie's Alexander, and then he gets cooked by Carter Bell. That's such a hard ask, though. I mean, that skinny post across the entire field, and it is such a hard...
Cover your guy for 8 seconds.
It's just so hard, and I know if, you know, people... You know, what, besides quarterbacks, who gets bagged on by fans the most? Left tackles that miss... You know, they can't block a pass rusher,
yep.
And corners that get beat. And it's like, because I'm a fan and I can see that happening. And I understand that. I think Jaquise Alexander's going to be a great player. They need to figure something else out to defend the pass. I would just like to see a more aggressive version of this defense. And I would like to see Cole Wisniewski around the line of scrimmage more.
Yeah.
This is going to sound kind of mean. I'd like to see Darius Gibbons, or I'd like to see another look at somebody at the safety position. I would like to have someone... Sam Young's a great player, great special teams guy, program kid, obviously been around this long.
Mm-hmm.
We're used to like Dawson Weber, Michael Tutsi back there, Christian Dudzik and Trey Dempsey, or Duggs and Heeds, James. Like, this defense has often been predicated on like impact play from the safeties.
Yep.
I don't know that I've seen Sam Young make an impact play.
Yeah.
He might be somewhat positionally sound, but like I think that tunnel screen to Carter Bell was onto his side, and that was poor pursuit or not being fast enough to get there or whatever it was. And
not making the impact play.
Right. So, and I'm not, you know, it seems like I'm singling out one guy, but there are dudes that have been, whether you're talking about Ryan Jones, whether you're talking about Darius Gibbons, there are athletes that have been recruited to play that position that now have time in the system, and I'd like to see something. I mean, I've not been impressed with this defense.
Yeah, it's hard, obviously, to have the conversation and talk about, like, college kids, and we're not coming right from a point of, like, hey, this guy needs to be benched right now.
Yeah.
Because they're hearing the same thing during meetings, that they're hearing stuff that they need to hear during meetings that doesn't need to come from us. But I think it's a fair critique, and you've seen the performance against two decent opponents, moderately concerning, against UCA, and then last week against USD, where it's like, well, it was first the tackling, now it's people getting beat in coverage, and, you know, bad pursuit angles or stuff you don't see from Bison defenses. And I heard D'Amico Ryans talk about it, how he's not stuck in one style of defense. He has his preferences on how he wants to structure everything, but he plays to his players' strengths. And what can we do to transition to that? Because I've seen flashes of it, where, like, Eastern Washington, you see Star Wars blitzes and the stuff that makes me excited, that's tough to pick up on the line of scrimmage. But are we really playing the guys' strengths? Are the right guys on the field? And we're kind of getting to the time where that stuff needs to start getting figured out, because we're heading into, as always, a tough Missouri Valley schedule.
And two guys, and I'll be done being mean after this. Like, I watched the film. Jake Cava, Luke Wirtz need to play better. And they don't need me to tell them that,
right?
But I'm just, both of those performances were not up to even the standard of those players. And defensively, I get, you know, what the game ended with at 27.
Yeah.
That's not, like, egregious. Yeah. The egregious part was the 21 part immediately. They were no punts. There were no, it was just, USD, your opponent cannot start out the game touchdown, touchdown, touchdown.
Right.
If you play the style of offense that North Dakota State plays.
Yeah.
You cannot allow three consecutive touchdowns to open the game.
Yeah, it's just, it all felt kind of flat. And, you know, you talk about the individual performances of Cole and Eli. This defense has to be better than relying on
right
amazing performances from one guy. They have to be able to play solid across the board at 11.
100%. Okay. And the funny thing, or funny is the wrong word. Nothing was funny. We apologize.
I can't wait to see what comes next.
Yeah. The tackling was fine. Seven missed tackles.
Right.
It was coverage issues.
Yeah.
And literally, like, getting their issue. Anybody miss a tackle on the Carter Bell?
There was nobody to make a tackle.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's even probably more problematic.
Yeah.
Offense, I just didn't feel like anybody really stepped up and made a play.
Yeah. It's like they weren't playing down 21,
right,
which is what I did not want to see.
Just methodical, and it's like, guys, it's 21-3. Guys, right, guys, and that was something, you know, that we sort of talked about is the pace.
Yeah.
Even those touchdown drives or those long drives in the second half, it was like, guys, you cannot take 8 minutes. You cannot take 8 minutes off the clock here. It just, because you're putting yourself in a position where one USD scoring drive ends this. You can go 7 minutes, three and out, 7 minutes, three and out, 4 minutes, game over.
Mm-hmm.
But the three and out part is like, that's a big ask.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, my concern is that down 21-3 could have been a good audition for what we're going to see against better opponents. Like, when I look back to Frisco, it was after a certain point, it was like, well, it's, you know,
we're not built like this.
Yes, we're not coming back from this. And we have the horses. We have the best athletes in the country here ready to play. Like, let's go and see if we can score in 45 seconds.
Yeah.
Let's run 2 minutes, even if it's early third quarter, you know? It's just,
explosive plays weren't there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't even know that attempted explosive plays were really there.
That was my bigger thing. I don't even think it was USD taking those things away. It was just, we're in normal NDSU offense when we're in a not normal NDSU offense situation.
Yep. Cam was PFF College's highest graded player. He played well.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, if your answer to the entire offense is I want to see Cole Payton instead of Cam,
I've been glad to see some of the Cam discourse stop online. Like, yeah. Cole's obviously a freak out. He's the Ferrari.
Yeah.
He's in the garage. But
yeah.
I think people are starting to respect Cam's level of play this year.
Bison Report Radio brought to you by the good folks at Gateway Chevrolet right there on the I-29 frontage road. Gateway Chevrolet has phenomenal salespeople there as well as an excellent service department. One thing that I haven't mentioned there is also the tire shop. Folks think about, you know, other tire places in town that sell just tires. You don't normally buy their tires from a dealership. They got a price match guarantee there. They do a great job. Everything's quick, I've found, as far as you know, your appointment, sometimes even not needing to get booked out 3 weeks. Like if I need tires, I don't want them at Thanksgiving right now. I'd like them now. So just check out the service, guys. I know, you know, mostly our prerogative is like, hey, new trucks, and they've always got new trucks, guys. There's always a phenomenal selection of new Silverados and Colorados over at Gateway Chevrolet, but just giving the folks a nod at the service department. They're good people over there. Okay. As we mentioned, backup quarterback, that brings in, I think, good and bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because NDSU is not a great example. I think, like, if Cam sprained his ankle, the team the next week would be like, well, darn it. this is, right, like, this is, we have 3 seasons of film on Cam. We know how to defend Cam. We might fail. We probably will fail if you look at Cam's record and the team's record with Cam at quarterback, but at least we sort of know what we're getting. I don't know that anybody wants to game plan 60 minutes of Cole Payton.
I wouldn't. That scares me. Yeah.
But like other schools, right, you game plan for their starter.
Mm-hmm.
For Theo Day. If you're going to play Northern Iowa, you understand what Theo brings to the game. Not a super mobile guy, but coverage has to be on point because he's going to put the ball where it needs to be. Yep. But that's sort of your expectation going into the game. When it's a backup and you don't have film, it's like, okay, what did this guy do in high school?
Right.
Can we find some garbage time?
The like, GAs what, are working.
Right, you know what I'm saying? So that kind of brings a little bit of a challenge into it.
Yeah, it's. I feel like that's a tale as old as time. You even look at the pro ranks, like your guy, Mike Flynn, or Matthew Flynn, where it's like, okay, well, we were getting ready for Aaron Rodgers. That's horrifying enough. And then he came in and dropped 450 on our head. Like, yes. I don't like this very much.
10.5-point road favorites. I feel like that, especially, and look, I understand that like the bookmakers are not paying as close of attention to FCS football. I actually think NDSU might be kind of a value at 10.5 if this were a podcast where we talked about such things.
Sure.
But with a backup quarterback, a 1-3 team, I feel like 10.5 is maybe a little bit of a reaction to NDSU's struggles against USD.
I agree. Yeah, it's seemed a little reactionary to, obviously, teams that were... USD last week, where it was like, well, did not look like a normal North Dakota State team, and I think Missouri State's kind of getting the benefit of the doubt when it comes to the books on that.
1-3 record. They've given up a lot of points. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, the passing offense was cooking, but their QBs count, so that's interesting. Really bad. You know, I try to watch the opponent a couple of games. You know, kind of coming in, but also the PFFC grades are stuff that's just like, okay, who's really playing well, who's not. Again, not, I feel like I keep saying not the gospel, but like you look at it and you sort of get an understanding where they struggle. Blocking grades in the 30s for both run and pass block.
That's poor.
That's 60 is kind of like their average. If you have a 60 grade, it means you are the average at your position in college football. 30s is bad, guys.
Yeah.
It's non-functional.
And that's why I do like the PFF stuff. We had the conversation, kind of decoded it, where they've given up 5 sacks on the season, but these pass blocking grades are so poor that lets you get a little insight
11,
on what's happening on the
offense. 11 knockdowns and 33 total pressures in 4 games is a lot. So you have the 5 sacks, but the QB has been on the ground 16 times.
Definitely an opportunity to take care of. And, you know, a backup again. You know, he sees a little pressure, starts getting a little flustered. Is he holding that ball for that extra half second that lets these guys get home?
For the NDSU offense, I think this is a good matchup for them. The front seven, there's nothing really to write home about. I don't know. You know, schematically, Missouri State was always that 3-4. And has that changed over the years a little bit? They're a little bit more multiple. And at the same time, it's like, yeah, they... You know, the Southern Illinois 3-4 gave us trouble, but this one never really did. For whatever reason, I guess there have been times when it's been an issue, but I don't know, man. They're just giving up so many points. Caleb Blake and Lamondre Joe out at corner have been excellent. But really the spine of the defense, the linebackers aren't particularly good. The D tackles aren't particularly good. The safeties aren't particularly good. And you just look at, I mean, you talk about basic stats. Just look at their schedule. Look at the points given up. They've given up 40 once. They've given up 30 twice. It's not a great defense, although, you know, like I said, those two corners are playing pretty well.
Yeah, which is kind of surprising. I guess when we always game plan against Missouri State, we always kind of saw our mismatch on the D-line. But, you know, NDSU offensive line, we think every D-line is a mismatch going into the game. But they always usually had a couple studs or one stud at least at the second level at linebacker. I remember Dylan Cole was there for my freshman year. Who is an
dude. Still a pro.
Yeah.
Still a pro.
Yeah, and he's going to be a pro for a long time and was one of the freakier dudes I've ever seen on film. But just guys who can usually come down and thump and are built to play Missouri Valley football, and I don't think that's there this year, which I think plays well into NDSU's chances this Saturday.
Yeah, I think you got a little bit of a chance for a get-right game.
Yeah.
Just from a matchup perspective, you have an offensive line on the other team struggling to block both ways.
Yep.
You know, try to get that front seven going a little bit if you're NDSU, and you're worried about pass coverage. Well, there's a backup quarterback in there.
Right.
So just sort of as things play out on paper, you know, or as things play out theoretically, seems like an opportunity. Same exact thing on the other side. It's like, okay, this two, you know, if you just strictly go by PFFC grades, it's like, all right, their two best players on defense are corners. Right. And NDSU's like, we don't care. Yeah. Cool. We'll throw the ball to the slot receiver, or we'll throw the ball to the tight end, or guess what? We just won't throw the ball. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. It's like, if I were, you know, if you said, okay, the other defense has two NFL guys, where do you want them? I'd be like, yeah, left corner and right corner. Because we don't care.
We'll figure out the rest.
Yeah, we'll figure out the rest. Absolutely. So an opportunity, I think, for a get-right game.
Yeah, they need it. And, you know, Missouri State's kind of a tough place to get up and play on the road. There's not a huge fanfare. Facilities, I think they updated, but were always gross when I was in school. So it's just something you have to block all that stuff out, flush last week's game, and come in ready to play, and you can take advantage of these matchups that I think are there.
If this was not, for those of you that don't know, I run the defense at Oak Grove, and we have our homecoming game, Go Grovers, tomorrow. You guys probably get this on a Thursday, Go Grovers. Poor timing. I desperately wanted to that golf course that Tiger Woods like built and like designed is in Branson.
Yeah.
Google how close Branson and Springfield are. Really wanted to go play Payne's Valley on like one of our absolutely unnecessary road trips.
Yeah.
Really wanted to go play Payne's Valley on a Friday and go to a football game on a Saturday. Unfortunately, that will not happen. I'm personally very sad about that.
Yeah, as long as it went better than my last golf trip to Kansas City, where I wanted to throw my 9-iron through someone's back window, we would have been all right.
But. Well, we did get those labels for those bottles.
Oh,
anyway, old K-State friend, a guy that I used to evaluate on film, Jacardier Wright is their leading rusher, although only 3.6 a carry. The team rushing average is good, and I don't know, like I saw one wide receiver had a reverse that went for a while, or like a jet sweep that went for a while. I think the QB probably had a decent rushing average on some scramble stuff.
Yeah.
But as far as their bell cow, which is the K-State transfer, Jacardier Wright, 3.6 a carry against defenses that are okay. Even like you saw how much they scored against. Kansas is a functional now Big 12 team for the first time in God knows how long.
Yeah.
They still don't guard. They still don't defend anybody.
Right. They're a Big 12 team.
Yeah.
And I think I saw on the game notes that the highest average or highest amount of rush yards per game this year was 65. So, I mean, it's not like we're looking at guys who are breaking 100 tackles or rushing for 150 yards a game. I think this could be a good confidence booster for the NDSU defense.
All right, Zach, I need your game score prediction.
I'm going to go 28-10 Bison. Go in and take care of business and come back home.
I really like that. I like 31-13 Bison. I think NDSU has a real chance here to kind of right the ship. I don't think this is a very terrifying offense to play against. They can maybe experiment with some stuff, and I like that score. Thanks to Zach Willis. Thanks to Big Deck Barbecue. Thanks to Gateway Chevrolet, and thanks to all of you for listening. Have a phenomenal weekend, and go Bison.